I dig that bass line right at the end. Boom.
I can play that. Like,
I can play that.
That one note.
That one note.
Usually you say hello.
Hello and welcome to Hallmark's The Spot, the greatest podcast in the history of the known and unknown universe.
Excellent. So I'm Ellie.
And the multiverse.
Oh,
and a little tie-in with Marvel and Ant-Man coming out.
Do we have to pay royalties or something for saying that?
For saying Marvel and Ant-Man? I hope not.
So I'm Ellie.
I'm Jim.
And we're here to talk about some of the Christmas Hallmark movies.
Yes, Christmas Hallmark. Hallmark Christmas.
And we might throw in a couple of comments about a couple of those wedding veil things.
Yeah, we're still talking about Christmas. And we have to admit something. We're recording this on February 6th.
Yes.
I believe our Christmas tree is still up.
It is.
Yes.
It is. We were going to take it down this past weekend and we didn't.
We took down all the other Christmas decorations.
Not really.
No?
Well,
the outside ones are gone.
Oh.
Yeah.
They were gone at Epiphany.
Wait a minute.
Around Epiphany.
You took them down.
I took down some.
Yeah.
But I just put them on a counter. I don't think that really counts as like putting them away. And I like stashed the stockings on the dryer. Do you know what I mean? When people were coming over. So, yeah. And so we're going to have people over for Super Bowl. It's official. So, we're going to have to get adios the Christmas tree.
Yeah. I'm going to miss it.
We have other lights. We're planning another light display that will help get us through the dark of winter. So don't feel sorry for us, but also don't feel guilty if you have your tree up. You have good company.
I'm surprised you don't have your little ceramic Christmas tree. You usually have it sitting on the desk lit up to give you a Christmas inspiration.
I do, but it needs a...
Well, we're here for another infrequent episode talking about the recapping.
Countdown to Christmas.
Countdown to Christmas, which happened a while ago. We're into Loveuary now.
Yeah, it's Loveuary. And we're still watching some of the Christmas movies that we missed, like...
Yeah. The Christmas Prince.
The Christmas Prince. We just watched that last night or the night before. Last night.
Yeah, last night.
Yeah. So it was.
But also other, we've watched.
There are a couple we still haven't seen, like Christmas Spectacular. No, but I mean,
we've watched an actual Loveuary movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've watched a couple of the, definitely one of the Wedding Veil, one of the old Wedding Veil ones and the new Wedding Veil ones, the ones for Autumn Research.
The Wedding Veil ones are such horrible, horrible movies.
I have to say, I'm not a fan of this baby crazy thing.
Yeah.
I don't have kids, so I'm just not a fan. So now when they all get together and go, I'm just like, I remember it's a different kind of love. It's just a different kind of love. I'm trying to remember that.
Yes.
Yeah. But I much prefer the romantic ones and not the ones where it's always hard when they do the sequel. Because they have to invent a problem.
Yeah.
So you last you saw them, they were embarking onto their happily ever after.
Yeah.
And now, problem. We haven't taken our honeymoon yet. Or he's still in Italy and I'm in Chicago and I never see him. When are we starting our life together? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's like those whatchamacallit movies.
The In Love ones. Where it was all of a sudden they were fighting and they almost got broke up. And then in the next one, they got married.
Yeah.
The only thing they didn't do with them is then like say, oh, they're having kids.
But the thing is, in all three movies, the problem was the same practically.
Well.
In those three movies, those...
The problem that like he wants to go to New York and she's got to learn.
Well, he wants to actually make money instead of not make money.
unlike the Loveuary movie we watched last night, where she owned a business and she didn't want to make money.
Exactly. because if you make money, then it gets worse.
Yeah.
Your business gets worse.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of stress having a product that people want. Yeah.
And then how are you going to keep up the supply? That was such nonsense. Where do we talk about that one?
We aren't going to talk about that one.
Oh, that one? No, we're still going to talk about Christmas movies.
Just so everybody also knows how bad we are.
It was that chocolate one.
Yeah, we have not DVR'd. We have not recorded a single movie since the Christmas.
No, we just...
If we happen to see them, we see them. Yeah. So I'm telling you, we were broken.
Yeah.
We were broken by Butlers in Love, and we have not been repaired.
But we're here to talk about two Christmas movies we kind of liked.
Yeah.
And two we kind of did not.
Yeah.
And they are The Royal Nanny.
I love that movie.
Lights, Camera, Christmas.
Yep.
Three Wise Men and a Baby.
Yep.
And Noel Next Door.
Yep. So are we going to start with the ones we like?
We'll start with... No, we'll do one and one.
I think that's what we did the last time.
Yeah. We'll start with The Royal Nanny.
Yay!
Yay!
This was one of the first ones of the season, I think.
Yeah, and this had... Oh, that's that dude.
Yes.
That dude who was just in the chocolate...
That's right.
The Chocolatier movie last night or whatever.
The stepson from Good Witch.
Yeah. Dan Jeannot. I think that's how it's pronounced.
Dan, if you know.
N-O-T-T-E.
Jeannot.
Well, he's French. He's French Canadian.
Usually it would be Goulot, right? Like Goulots.
Yeah. So this guy has done many accents.
including British.
Including British now. He's British. He's been French. He's been
American.
American. And of course, he's Canadian.
Right.
This also starred Rachel Skarsten.
Right. And we know her from that one that she did with Jughead.
With the big ear dude, Jughead.
That was her first one, where she owned the bridal store, and he was
the
Hollywood firefighter actor dude.
Yeah, he's one of the dudes who went to that Cameron Bure network.
Oh, he did.
Yeah,
and he also was in
what?
He was in that one. Now I can't remember any of their names. We're very rusty. He was in the one where they play lawyers in autumn. Ellie, it's probably okay.
Ellie, we don't remember their names when we're not rusty.
We used to.
A little bit better, anyway. Not me.
A little bit better. He was in the one where the two lawyers go home, and he went to Stanford, and she was like this high-powered attorney, and they were disputing over the land. So his aunt had the... flower farm, and her dad had the pumpkin patch, the great pumpkin patch.
Oh yeah.
And it was called something clever, but I can't remember, like a Love, Fallen Order or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So anyway, I remember him from that, but mostly from that original one. Oh, and he was on the one with the woman, Jen Lilly. The USS Christmas or whatever, the Navy sail.
Well, enough talking about that dude. Yeah. Trevor Donovan.
That's his name.
That's his name. See? Trevor Donovan.
I knew we weren't that rusty.
Yeah.
And I think it was Love, Fallen Order. So.
Lift your mic up a little. Like that on. There you go. That's better.
It was droopy. My mic was droopy, everyone. All right. So. We're talking about The Royal Nanny. The kids were adorable.
Oh, there we go. I'm sorry, I couldn't work Hallmark's website.
They look super happy.
MI5 agent Claire, Rachel Skarsten, goes undercover as the Royal Nanny and must overcome the challenges of her assignment. Like resisting the charms of Prince Colin.
She doesn't do a good job of that.
While keeping the family safe at Christmas, starring Rachel Scarston, Dan Cherno, and Greta Scacchi.
So she does really well at the first thing and not very well at the second thing.
Yeah.
She does not resist his charms, but she is clever. I love this movie because it was unusual for Hallmark. It was, and they by all means, they should not do it.
There was no secret prince. There was no secret king. There was no commoner falling in love with a prince. She's not really a commoner. She's kind of in the...
She's the commonest of commoners.
Yeah, she's common. Yes, I get it. But I'm saying, but she's like, she's but not...
It's not like...
She's not some, you know, a shop owner that...
Right. Some shop owner.
Shop owner or maid.
Yeah, it didn't have a lot of the usual tropes.
Yeah.
Let's say, and it was clever. So the kids, it was funny. The kid, well, this is a trope. The kids don't like their nanny and they want to haze her.
Yeah.
And so they try
that,
all these.
Yeah, that goes on in all of them.
Yeah. And well, and not just Hallmark movies. So they play tricks on her and she's able to foil all their tricks. So then they call in Uncle Colin, who is the ringleader of the fun club.
Right.
And there is a fun club. And she outsmarts him. And he goes, ooh, this is going to be tough.
Yep.
And then she drops him off at his house.
Well, let's just say because of this plot, she is installed.
Oh, sorry.
As the nanny. In this house,
I thought we weren't going big into the...
No, I'm just... I want to talk about the old lady.
Oh, okay. About Scary Nanny? Yeah. Scary Poppins, that's it. Yeah,
Scary Poppins. So they send her to get a crash course on nannying because she was an orphan and never really had a normal home life, so she doesn't know what a nanny does.
And didn't have any younger siblings, et cetera. Except she took care of the younger ones in the orphanage.
So it turns out that Scary Poppins works with the intelligence, and she's kind of got an intelligence operation all on her own.
It's true. So she teaches her how to use an umbrella
as a weapon.
As a weapon, because a nanny must always be prepared.
Yes.
And so, what's her name? Rachel Scarston?
Scarston.
No, what's her? Claire?
Claire.
So Claire insinuates. Yeah. So first of all, she does as well as she can. She's an A plus pupil. But Scary Poppins is a little concerned because she's only had 24 hours and she would normally train a nanny for 5 years for that assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And so she gets into the home and she ferrets out an untrustworthy secretary. She plays a joke, a practical joke on the kids.
Yeah.
Which is like they love it. So, and then she gets herself into, at first, Prince Colin says, no, you can't come in. And she goes, how can I watch the kids? And he's like, no, you can't. We're busy. We're doing our stuff. And then she gets herself indoctrinated into the fun club.
Yeah.
So that she can stay with them. But also, you know, he's getting more and more besotted as time goes on. So she's there trying to uncover this plot against the royal family.
Exactly. And there is a plot going on. This isn't just, I disapprove of this, queen disapproving of something. There is actually a little palace intrigue going on here. And the head of the British
Secret Service,
MI5.
Yeah. Is in on the plot.
Is in on the plot, which gets uncovered.
Yeah. So in the end, she uses her umbrella to rescue Colin.
She does.
And she's not the queen. This woman is like the heir to the throne, the princess.
Yeah.
Because the king is still out there somewhere. And he calls up at the end when she has saved the day. And the princess approves and he invites Claire to spend Christmas at the palace.
That's right.
And so The only thing I disapprove of. So I loved that there was the plot, an actual plot.
And Scary Pop, because...
Yeah, and Scary Poppins has her uses her intelligence network to figure out where Colin is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So the only problem is that Claire knows that something just doesn't add up. And she keeps on saying that. Something just doesn't add up.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets suspended for speaking her mind. But really, we find out because
she's getting too close. She's
getting too close. But while she's quote unquote suspended, her friends in the service help her. Like, they let her into the surveillance van and they let her go in and rescue Colin. But I guess that's because they weren't supposed to rescue Colin. Yeah. So she's the only one who can do it. Mm-hmm. So it's like she kind of goes black ops, but she's
in a Hallmark movie.
But the regular ops are helping her. So yeah. That was my only thing that I found. I mean, it's all unbelievable.
Yeah.
But that was the thing I found the most unbelievable. But I still thought it was very endearing and I loved it. And it was different and fresh and new. And and the acting was good. And, you know, and I loved that everybody was good. Like the princess said, you know, I don't trust anybody except for her. And, you know, it was like people were sticking up for her. It wasn't like, oh, she's the commoner and blah, blah, blah. But she kept on surprising Colin and helped him with his charity and raising money. And yeah, so it was good. That was the only bad thing I had to say about it. I'm sure I challenged him to say something bad about it if he wanted.
I didn't buy Scary Poppins fighting that dude with the umbrella.
Oh, that's right. Because she's like much older.
Yeah.
And out of shape.
Yeah.
But hey, a good umbrella. I'm going to carry one with me now. I'm just kidding.
The guy was like overly dramatically falling down and tripping and stuff.
I mean, the bottom line is we know Hallmark should not do action movies.
But I like the character.
Yeah.
I thought it was very cute.
Yep. Yep. Oh, Scary Poppins.
Yeah.
Oh, and oh yeah, I'm not going to ruin it all. Yep. But, it was great. I don't know what to say. Oh, so we still have this. I would watch it again.
So I guess it is a keep and not a delete.
It is a keep. whether you want it or not, it's on there, baby.
Yep.
And we have watched it once or twice since Christmas. So
yeah, even though. Well, we won't intentionally delete it.
Yeah, Hallmark.
But
Comcast.
I don't know. Something strange was happening with our DVR, and it wasn't just because it wasn't full or anything like that, but certain Hallmark movies were disappearing from it.
In particular, the Hallmark movies that we had taped where there were few commercials.
Yeah.
You know, when last year when they did the Christmas Day marathon and they were all an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were all gone.
Yep.
You don't have a single one of those left. And you know, we didn't delete those.
No. And it wasn't like the oldest ones disappeared.
Right. We still have Falling for Vermont.
They were like random ones.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And even. The one I'm open by Christmas.
Yeah, so we suspect a little skullduggery.
A little bit. Telling you. We lost. So we ended up having to buy, and we lost an unexpected Christmas. So we just bought it.
Yeah, which was just recorded last year. So.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, that we've watched several times since Christmas. But that was last year. So
that's the Royal Nanny.
That's the Royal Nanny. That's
a keep.
Yeah. I guess. Do we give stars? Nah. We just say keep or delete.
And we tell if we liked it.
We like it.
We both like this one.
All right. And then we're going to talk about one that we didn't love so much.
Three Wise Men and a Baby.
Yeah.
Now, you're saying Jim and Ellie, but you like Tyler Hines so much.
Yes, we do.
And you like Bill...
Andrew Walker and Paul Campbell.
Yeah. You like them all so much. You've seen so many movies with them in it. Of course, you're going to love this one,
right? And this wasn't this written by Paul Campbell and Kimberly Sistat?
Yeah, it was a Paul Campbell, Hillary Kimberly Susted joint.
Yeah, joint venture. And she makes a cameo in here, too, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. But, so you're saying, hey, you like all these guys. What happened?
You're going to say, you probably love this. Well, let me tell you about it. Mm-hmm. Three brothers get the surprise of their lives when they are forced to work together and care for a baby over the holidays.
That's it.
That's it.
Well, that is about it. Except for all the infighting.
Yeah, so...
And the baby...
They play brothers.
Who are big babies.
Who are big babies. Walker is a firefighter.
Right.
And he seems to be the most put together of the three.
Well, and isn't that part of the problem? That he was like the oldest when... their father walked out on them or something like that? Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, they had some trauma that he had to, like, protect them and take care of them. And so he did that. But then the mother's still in the picture, right? Yeah, because one of them lives with the mother.
Yeah, Tyler Hines.
And then the other one lived, over the garage.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. They all live at home.
Except I thought Andrew Walker had his own place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other two live at home.
Yeah. So he was literally the best.
Yeah. So Paul Campbell plays a therapist who needs intense therapy because he's so incredibly.
Did he have like OCD-like tendencies?
Yeah. And he couldn't be around people or crowds.
Yeah,
he didn't like, he has this problem that a gorgeous woman keeps throwing herself at him.
Yeah, it's really terrible.
Yeah, it's like, all these guys were, she was putting it on Front Street that she liked him.
Oh, right. Tyler Hines was like the game developer.
Yeah, that's right.
Who like had a meltdown. He was a terrible team leader or whatever.
He didn't work well with others.
He didn't work well with others. And he had the chick from the Philadelphia bookstore.
The chick from the Philadelphia bookstore?
The one where she loses it. The guy loses his memory and she falls in love with him. A gift to remember or a gift, Christmas gift or. Where the guy, she hits the guy with her bike and he has amnesia.
Oh, yeah. That's, I forget her name. Lucy. No, it's not Lucy.
No, but she's really cool. She's good. And she is on his team and she watches him like self-destruct.
Yeah.
But she sticks with him somehow, even though they aren't going out or they had gone out. And
yeah.
Yeah. So there was like history there. And then he totally like blew up.
Yeah. He just doesn't know how to shut his mouth.
Yeah.
And he gets himself fired.
Yeah. Because of the game. The game wasn't the way he wanted it to be.
It wasn't advertised the way he wanted it to be.
He's just a big baby. They introduced something into the game that he didn't think was in keeping with its overall, whatever.
Aesthetic or whatever.
Yeah.
And so a baby shows up at the firehouse.
Right.
With a note that says, I'm going to come back and get this baby, but could you take care of it for a little while until I can come back and get it.
Right.
So
they don't know whose it is.
Whose it is. He brings it
home to dump on his mother.
Yeah.
And his mother's sister has hurt herself or something. Yeah, and she has to go
out of town.
So then they're left. Fight, you know, to take
care of the baby on their own.
But he basically dumped it on his brothers. Like, you're going to have to do this.
Yeah.
And the mom was kind of like, you need to grow up.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah. So I can't even think of a scenario that my sister would come home with a baby and then see like, see ya.
Yes. Take it.
Hey, this is on you now. This will be good for you. You need to grow up.
I believe it.
You believe it?
What? That Andrew Walker would do that? Yeah.
Oh, no, but I said,
Not him, the character. Yeah,
but brothers to brothers. Like, but it's also like a little bit of this. At least they didn't go into, although they did have all the women were put together.
Yeah.
And the men were basket cases.
Yep. Yeah, because it seems like Andrew Walker is all, you know, like put together and mentally sound compared to the other two. But then you find out later he ain't either.
Yeah.
And like they have trouble taking care of this kid and they say what a hard time they had. And then Andrew Walker starts taking care of the kid like it's nothing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he melts down. He self-destructs.
I barely remember that. But yeah. I remember they were all a mess.
Yep.
And actually, I feel like guys,
yeah.
If I were a guy, I would be offended.
Yeah. So they basically grow up by taking care of this kid.
Right.
And, you know, Tyler Hines, he realizes he's just a jerk at work a lot. And he really likes Darcy from the bookstore.
Darcy, that's right.
Paul Campbell learns, hey, I could be around other people sometimes.
Yeah.
And
it's okay if a beautiful woman is throwing herself at me.
Yeah. And
then they figure out who left the baby. And yeah. It wasn't even like, I just can't even imagine. This woman was just like, oh, well, I just had to go out of town and I knew you would take care of it. It was the weirdest thing because, of course, they couldn't make it like, this is really baby abandonment.
Yeah.
Even though you can surrender your baby at.
I know, but they didn't do it where any real authorities were involved.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was weird that it wasn't like, hey, I know you. I'm in a jam. Can you help me out? It was like, I'm leaving my baby here and I'll be back. And that's just okay. Like they would have called child services immediately, you would think.
And they do the most embarrassing dance.
The three wise
performance.
Men. For their mother?
Yeah.
Or just, oh, so because there's like this competition and the mom wants to win.
Yeah.
And so they do a live three wise men out front of the house and it's pretty terrible.
Yeah. And they do it and they do it again at the end. Where they do the Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The whole choreographed thing.
That whole choreographed thing that they do that was just embarrassing. And okay, so I hated this movie.
Yep.
And
we deleted it immediately.
And for three actors who I've enjoyed, and especially Tyler Hines and Paul Campbell, you know, because they usually are more funny. Movies.
Yeah, Andrew Walker doesn't really do funny.
Yeah, but I didn't like any of the characters.
Oh, the characters were terrible.
Yeah,
I mean, we've even liked movies that Kimberly Susted and Paul Campbell have written.
Yeah,
that they've been okay or good or whatever. Right? Yeah. Didn't they write Wedding Every Weekend or something?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Wedding Every Weekend. They
wrote. I think that was their first adventure. Yeah, right? When they were like were starring in, I don't know, the Starlight Christmas. It was before the Starlight one.
Yeah, because they did. They said, hey, they did we can another write these. One. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just
we're
wasn't
speechless.
Just wasn't making it.
Yeah.
It story. I didn't like it. I didn't like their portrayal of the. It's because I hated every character. It's like these people. I don't like. You know, I had no sympathy for any of them.
So when I watched Three Men and a Baby, I remember it was funny. But you're basically ripping off Three Men and a Baby and putting in some religious stuff and Christmas and. But I don't remember hating every character. But maybe I would now if I watched it. And I'd be like, babies grow up. So I'm like, you get a baby and you fall apart.
There was a ghost thing attributed to Three Men and a Baby.
A ghost
thing? A ghost story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there's a scene in Three Men and the Baby where outside a window, you see like a silhouette. And the rumor was that was a kid who committed suicide in that room And that was his ghost looking through the window when they were filming this. And then they said,
it was a set.
And then they said, one, it wasn't a room, it was a set. Two is the silhouette thing. What it was there was an advertisement with like a full size cutout or a 2/3 of the size cutout of Ted Danson, I think it was, for a commercial thing. It's in the movie.
Right.
And that he had like a little standee. But so someone had put it over by the window. And that's the silhouette you see. Too funny. It's actually cardboard cutout of Ted Danson.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't anything like that here.
No, no. It was a terrible movie. Delete it.
Don't even watch it.
Yeah.
So now we're going to talk about one we liked. Although I liked it more than Jim did.
Yes.
And I don't remember with that much.
Kimberly Susted.
That's right.
Matter of fact, called Lights, Camera, Christmas.
That's right. And we watched it so long ago, I can't even remember what it's about. So please remind me, Jim.
When a holiday rom-com movie shooting in our town needs a costume designer, Carrie, a local shop owner, steps into the role. While working on the movie, she rediscovers her passion for costume design and finds herself falling for Brad, the film's famous leading man, starring Kimberly Susted and John Brotherton.
John Brotherton.
John Brotherton's the dude who did those promos last year with Candace Cameron Bure outside, where he had to act all excited. Like he was all excited about being outside of the Hallmark offices.
Right. Well, because they had that movie together last year.
Right.
The
right.
Christmas contestant.
Yeah, exactly.
Contest or whatever. It was terrible.
So after she skedaddled to the other network, I guess he stayed behind.
Well, he said, I got a quality script here with one of the best, Kimberly Susted.
Right. And this is kind of a meta movie because it's like they're making a Hallmark movie within the movie.
Yeah. Which is why I like
With all the tropes and cliches that go along with it.
Right. So that's what I liked about it, that it was kind of picking on itself. It wasn't taking itself so seriously. We're going to have to watch this later if we still have it. So I really like this. You know what happened was...
What?
We taped this and the DVR was messing up or the signal was messing up.
Yeah.
And so there were some scenes we couldn't even understand. We couldn't
understand what was going on in a couple of the scenes. Because it would like freeze and then jump and then freeze again.
Yeah. So we taped it, but then we never watched it.
Yeah.
So it's still recorded.
Right.
And it may be time for us to watch this. Right. But she does. There is the usual thing of, well, she has her own store. And who is her mother? Her mother's one of these famous mothers that's been in a bunch of them. I forget.
Yeah, I forget who her mother was.
Yeah. I think.
I don't have the whole cast.
She might be the woman they thought was Bea Turner in Five Star Christmas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Another one we love.
Yeah, Five Star Christmas. Good one. Somehow it's gone.
Not on our DVR.
We're looking at you, Comcast.
So she has this store and it's not going well and she's going to have to close up. And this movie comes to town and something has happened with their costumes and their costume designer. So they basically pay her to use all the clothes in her store.
Yeah.
And then she does all the alterations and like she comes up with all these brilliant ideas for like what to put in to have Santa's costume.
It's the producer, right?
Yeah.
The producer says, I want to hire you.
Yeah. And she's kind of like, I don't know.
And her mother goes, idiot.
I don't know.
Your mother goes, idiot. You need money, stupid.
That's why I liked that too, that the mother was like, really not, oh, you have to figure this out on your own.
Yeah.
She's like, you need the money, just do it. Like, yes. you can feel, you know, get whatever feelings you have about it later.
Yeah.
You know, work through your insecurities later. You need $4,000 now or whatever. So it was really, but it was really interesting. All of her quirky ideas for costumes, like he was Santa, and she said you should have a cane or something. And
yeah,
was,
like she made him like a
like a
very dapper suit, and he of course loved it, and the producer and the director loved it too,
right?
And so she's really good at it, and he starts falling for her,
yeah,
even though he is a typical actor and is self-aware enough that he knows when he's over the top.
Right.
You know, he knows this is me being a prima donna actor.
Right. Right.
and being like, so he's very, even though that's what another thing I liked about it is that he was self-aware.
Right.
It wasn't like he was just like a prima donna and acting that way all the time. It's like when he was acting that way, he knew he was acting that way.
Right, yeah. Right. And the major conflict of the movie is that they're kind of falling in love. And then he gets offered this role in London or something. And I think he promises her a job he can't.
Yeah,
give her,
exactly,
right? Like, oh, you could
come to London with me and
do the costumes. But then he backs out of that role. She says no to something because they've offered her like another Christmas movie or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And she says no, and he backs out of it. And so he really kind of betrays her.
Yeah.
And so they don't get together. But then 6 months later they do or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's a real weird ending.
Yeah, it's a little, and
it's a get together
like later, but it
much
gives,
later, not, you know, not you know, you got a big time jump.
Yeah. But I have to say, I'm going to hope I'm right when I say this, that it allows them both time to work through whatever they had to work through to then really be together.
Yeah.
So that her going along with him was not her going out on her own and not her being her own person. And so I think in the end it works. It doesn't, it's disappointing when he betrays her like that. I have to say, it's like, how could you, you know, yeah. like, you know, he's a prima donna, you know, yep. He's very self-involved. You know that he knows he's that way and that he sees this happening and he doesn't give it a second thought. He just like does it. And she said, how could you do that? Right. Cause she's a real person. And so it's that I just recently rewatched Notting Hill. Right. So it's like this, the movie star versus the real person. Right. Right. And I think that was a little bit of the takeoff on, you know, if they're going to model it after any movie, Notting Hill would be one of them.
Yeah.
So I, in the end, I thought it worked, that he betrayed her and then she was still able to realize her purpose. And then they could get together and he could realize that he'd made a big mistake too and be really, remorseful. You know, apologetic and real in that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
I was just flipping through
the pictures,
and you were right. It is the woman who played Bea Turner in okay. Five Star Christmas.
Awesome.
As the mother.
Yeah, she's good. I like her.
So obviously, this is a keep.
And
if Comcast lets us.
Okay. Yep. And watch again. We liked it.
Yeah.
And it is one of, I felt like for this year, definitely one of the funnier ones.
Yeah.
It had more humor in it than a lot of the others.
Yeah, there was a serious lack of humor in a lot of these so-called rom-coms. They were forgetting the com.
Yeah. I mean, was the Christmas Prince funny at all?
No.
Yeah.
Christmas Prince was not funny.
Yeah, I mean, we just watched it last night. So, I'm looking at my list here. The one we're going to talk about next does has zero comedy.
Unintentional comedy. Zero intentional comedy.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's true.
Yeah. So what we're talking about is...
What we're talking about next is...
About Noelle Next Door.
Noelle Next Door. With the chick from Baking Me Crazy.
That's right.
Our first podcast.
A hard-working single mom gets into a war of words with a neighbor who she feels is ruining Christmas.
That's right.
Only to find that his misunderstood grouch, I'll try that again. I can't read anymore. Only to find that this misunderstood grouch just may steal her heart. Starring Natalie Hall and Corey Sevier.
Yep, Corey Sevier. We have not liked a single movie he's in.
Well, it's like, it's weird because it's not like he's a bad actor or does anything annoying. He just doesn't. There's just something about him that doesn't endear him to me at all, ever.
Right, right.
And
well, and we didn't watch the Pugs in Love or whatever that he was Pugs in. In Love. We said we couldn't. That was a bridge too far. We could not watch it.
Yes, we didn't watch Pugs in Love, but... So here he plays a guy. He's still recovering after having
a serious stroke.
Yeah, where he has to walk with a cane and stuff like that. And she's a waitress at a local diner, restaurant style, casual eatery.
Yes,
and he. She takes a liking to him and him to her, and he's very closed off, but she's open and, you know, gregarious toward him and stuff. And he starts to have feelings for her, but unbeknownst to either of them, her son has been playing with his soccer ball against the wall of his condo and banging on the wall, and he's having a little war with the kid.
Right.
And the kid is telling his mother, there's this grouchy old guy, and he's evil, and he tried to run after me and stuff, and all I was doing was playing outside a little, and he's a horrible, horrible person. And she talks to him on the phone, is it?
Leaves notes.
Oh, the note leaving, yes. Yeah, so it's... Where she's telling him, hey, stop being a bad person and stuff like that.
That's right.
Right. And you know, as you go along, okay, it's ramping up with the kid and they're on a collision course to find out that he's the grouch who's been.
Right. Because it's even isn't he the reason why they aren't going to decorate for Christmas?
Yeah. I mean,
so he's a true Grinch.
Yeah.
So it's not only the kid, but now he's ruining Christmas for everyone.
Because he makes the property manager take down a Christmas tree because it wasn't safe. The guy had extension cords going across the walkway. So
it wasn't safe.
It wasn't safe.
It was a tripping hazard.
That dude could have.
He already has trouble walking. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the collision course, they figure out, you know, who it is because he's under a lot of stress because he's a composer.
Right.
And he has a big interview with the symphony or something.
Right.
And so he's trying to get ready for that. And then he's actually in the interview or something. And the kid starts with the banging on the wall.
Yeah.
And, yeah. He loses his cool because he's got a lot he's dealing with.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I forget anything else about this except that the collision course happens.
Yeah, and it's as you expect. Don't ever. Oh, I should have known you were too good to be true, blah, blah, blah. And then and then they make up. Then the kid says, well, maybe I exaggerated a little.
Maybe I kind of lied.
I kind of lied about, you know, him, me not annoying heck out of him.
I mean, it was sad because you saw these, you know, here she's, is she a widow or is just a single mom and the dad? I don't even know.
Yeah.
But basically she's a single mom.
Single mom.
He is trying to recover and they could really be good for each other. Mm-hmm. And obviously they have the chemistry. And there was the whole thing about he came in for dinner at the restaurant and she sat down with him and there were good things. And then the explosion happened that I don't really remember how they resolved it, except probably there was a best friend involved. And let me just go out on a limb. Yeah. And I actually think that then he relents with the Christmas tree.
Right.
And so if she can see that, like, he's changing and getting.
Yeah. And like, you know, I said, the kid tells her.
Yeah.
I was kind of provoking the guy.
Yeah. So, I may have been.
Yeah.
Banging my wall against, you know, my ball against his wall.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So regardless of all that, this movie stunk.
We don't know much more because we deleted it immediately.
It was an immediate delete.
Well, as soon as we realized that all of our favorite movies were getting disappeared.
Yeah.
And we were keeping these so that we could talk about them on the podcast. And then we're like, oh, forget it. Yeah. I'm sure our listeners would much rather that we keep the ones we like.
Yeah. And it didn't matter that we deleted this one.
No, because
they
Open by Christmas was gone. Five Star Christmas was gone. Unexpected Christmas was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if anyone else had this problem.
And I don't know if Hallmark is innocent in this either.
Right.
You know, they could be.
At first, we thought it was the one.
Putting a little pressure on the old Comcast, although.
I think we may have talked about this in the last one. Sorry, yeah. We aren't over it.
No.
We aren't over it. But we hope that nobody who is listening had the same problem.
Yes.
It was a problem out there on the web, though. Believe me, it had happened.
If Comcast stole this movie, I would not be that upset.
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah, not good.
And it's too bad. She was, I have to say, because I always try to appreciate something. I felt like her character was just was good. Not really too good to be true, but just a good person trying to like teach her son the way to behave. Right. In society, right? Yep. But sticking up for him when he says, hey, this guy, mean guy was yelling at me.
Right.
You know, and it's so funny how they're like, that Mr. 403B is terrible. And then she's like, what? You're a 403B? Yeah. So anyway, so she's always, you know, she's a little, you know, very, very pleasant.
I'll tell you one thing that this movie had going for it.
Okay.
No one lived in a gigantic house. Yeah. As almost all Hallmark movies show, either the person or the person's parents
live in a mansion.
Live in a humongous house.
Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. Although I thought that it was pretty realistic, the house that My Christmas Prince, the woman lived in. You never saw the other guy.
Yeah.
And it was real. They were really in the house because in one of the scenes they were showing the house and she walks away from the door.
Yeah.
You know, that he walks away and you see her leave, you know, from watching out the door or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, usually you're like, two people are living in that 5-bedroom house or whatever. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, so they were living in townhomes and it was believable.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well.
Actually, was it believable? A single mom waitress and a son. So maybe she had alimony or an insurance settlement or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe they are in Canada and they can live They do make a living wage as a waitress.
You know what? We'll never know because we'll never going to watch this. We won't be able to delve deeper into Noelle next door.
Right.
All right. So that's, I guess that wraps up another fine episode.
It does.
Another Christmas movie recap.
So are we, did we get any mail or anything? We're going to.
Oh, yes. Our fan sent us a mail. I forgot.
I didn't forget because it was a good, it was a nice.
Now I got to find it.
It was a nice message. Sorry. I brought it up.
Did I put it in important?
It is important. Definitely important to me.
This is from our fan, Laura.
Laura, our number one fan. Our only fan.
Hi, Ellie and Jim. Holy cow. I can't believe y'all just received my email and actually read it on your recent podcast. Well, now you're two for two, Laura. I happened to refresh my podcast feed last night and was so excited to see you'd recorded a new episode. Exclamation point. I almost didn't listen right away because I was afraid the excitement might keep me awake.
She listens if and we put her to sleep.
Imagine my surprise to hear my name and Jim reading my email. I just wanted to say, I'm so glad you're back. I love your idea about doing some podcasts on your classic favorites.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. Thank you, Laura.
Thanks. You just saved us from love you wearing. Where was I?
Classic podcasts.
Oh, and I have to tell you, imagine my surprise when I tuned into A Cozy Christmas Inn this past holiday season and heard the infamous off-quoted line from your podcast, "That's garland for you."
That's right. Yeah, they overdid that to death.
Yeah. I thought, where have I heard that before? Isn't this a new movie? I really needed you to talk me through the fact that A Cozy Christmas Inn was a sequel to Christmas Under Wraps, which we just watched again.
Yeah, we did.
Which I've never seen, but I know all about from your podcast. It's one of the better ones.
It's we've seen it many, many, many times. Oh, I'm sorry we weren't there for you, Laura.
Thanks for making my day or night, as it were.
Yep.
Well, good night, Laura.
Good night, Laura. Yeah.
That's sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams. Yeah, I know. I can't blame her. I put on these. I get download these Scottish mysteries and listen to them. So fall asleep to them. That's really awesome. And I'm sorry we weren't there for you to talk about Christmas Under Wraps.
So if anyone else would like to contact us, talk about their favorite Christmas movies, or maybe
we'll do them. Because we could do Christmas Under Wraps and A Cozy Christmas Inn.
Yeah.
I think I remember how that went. Obviously, it was a delete.
Yeah.
It just did not have the charm. They changed everything.
What is our email address?
MarksTheSpotMail@gmail.com.
That's right. MarksTheSpotMail@gmail.com.
That's right. And you can find us at
damshow.co, damshow.co, not .com, .co.
That's right. And it's the home of the Damn Junior Podcasting Network.
That's right, where our other fine podcasts can be found.
That's right, especially the one Ted Lasso, which is, we're ramping up on that because spring 2023, season 3 is coming out.
Season 3 is coming out and we'll be in high gear at that point.
That's right. So, yeah, definitely. Check us out, and I don't know. Good night, I guess. Now I'm going to say good night, Laura. At the end every time. Yeah.
All right.
Well, until the next time, take care, and we'll talk to you soon about Hallmark. Enjoy until then.